Okay, I'm Joe Broadhurst, and you're listening to CKUT Radio 90.3 in Montreal, and I'm pleased to be joined this morning by Krasimir Petrov. He is a professor of macroeconomics at the American University in Bulgaria. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing really great. It's actually late afternoon here in Bulgaria.
And you have good weather?
Yes, we have a nice sunshine and warm weather, about 15 degrees Celsius.
Oh, good. We're jealous because we're getting snow and it's wet and rainy here. Professor Petrov, I was very interested in some articles that you have written recently regarding the oil market that is going to be opening in Iran. And I believe that the mainstream media has not paid enough attention to this because it's a very significant act by the Iranians. They are, in effect, going to take about $1 trillion of the oil market and turn it over to euros from the U.S. dollar. And can you give me a little bit of a history behind that and how you believe that that's going to affect, or is that a direct effect of maybe possibly why the U.S. is having some tensions with Iran?
Okay, I would actually claim clearly that the U.S. tensions with Iran are directly related to the Iranian oil burst that is about to open about a month from now. We all know, and it's well known actually, that Iran is about 10 years away from any nuclear, nuclear power. In the meantime, however, this Iranian oil burst could actually act as a nuclear detonation to Washington and New York. And that's pretty much the way I would interpret it. Let me kind of backtrack a little bit, because you said that mainstream media isn't paying a lot of attention. And the truth is that mainstream media is actually well controlled by the main by the establishment. Let's put it this way. My article, and just made a search this morning, Iranian oil burst and my name Petrov, comes up on the internet 13,300 times. So the internet is awake and fully alert and publishes things just the way they are. It is not possible that an article that's come up a couple of thousand times or has been cited or referenced a couple of thousand times or tens of thousands of times, that it just doesn't show up in the media, in mainstream media, unless there has been a censorship and there has been something like a ban on not publishing and discussing the issue.
The Iranian bourse, how is that actually going to directly affect the American economic situation?
Okay, it will dramatically worsen the American economic situation, because up until now, oil has been traded entirely in dollars. This means that every single country that wanted to purchase dollars had to hold those dollars in reserves. It is generally in media, it is usually claimed that they can hold their currency into anything they want, and right before the purchase they can just change or switch euro or whatever they have into dollars, but that's actually not true. Usually a country should have 3, 6 months, or maybe a year worth of oil purchases in U.S. dollars. So if it's traded in dollars, countries must hold a substantial amount of their reserves in dollars. Now, if this is no longer the case and countries can purchase it in euro, then literally half of all world reserves in U.S. dollars can be released back on the currency market, and that will affect the value of the dollar. There is an estimate that the total amount of dollars, U.S. dollars, that foreigners hold is between $2 and $3 trillion. So $1 trillion coming on the foreign exchange market will definitely mean a total and complete collapse of the U.S. dollar. If the U.S. dollar collapses, this will necessarily collapse the U.S. budget, the U.S. trade surplus. In other words, the $400, $500, $600, $700 $1 billion trade surplus will have to shrink to zero, or it may actually force it to a surplus. This will mean that the U.S. standards of living will drop dramatically because 10% of all consumption will have to disappear.
Does this have a direct effect on actual consumption? Are consumption levels going to stay the same as far as oil goes, or does this change that at all?
Okay, consumption levels are not affected in any way by currency, dollar, euro, gold, or anything. Whatever is pumped out, people will consume it. Whatever is pumped out, people will demand it, and demand will fix the price. So the quantity of supply is in nowhere affected by price. So as long as we are currently right around Harvard's peak in oil production, or oil output will be decreasing over time, and Ken DeFeo of the renowned, scholar has pretty much estimated that last year, 2005, was the year of the peak. That's a recent article that we know already for sure that is the case. We know that oil production, let's call it conventional oil energy, will be going down. No matter what the currency, no matter what the pricing is, it is irrelevant. If you can't pump it out of the ground, it doesn't matter how it's priced.
And so are we speaking about a power issue? Are we speaking about Iranians taking power from the U.S. as far as controlling the oil market?
Well, that for one is sure. This will substantially loosen the stranglehold that Americans, and actually Americans and British jointly, have on oil markets. And we all know oil markets are many times bigger than probably all other markets taken together. So that will definitely loosen their grip. They will effectively lose their power. But it doesn't mean that Iranians will be the main beneficiaries. The beneficiaries will be each and every country that chooses to use the euro instead of the dollar. So it is not truly to the Iranian benefit. Anyone and everyone will benefit if they switch from dollars to euro. Iranians will too, but it's not only their own benefit.
We've noticed in the past couple of years that several large countries like China have begun to move substantial holdings from the dollar to the euro, and we've also seen increased tensions between these countries and the United States. Is this a direct effect of that, do you believe?
Yes, absolutely. It is a very, very direct effect. Let's kind of backtrack a little. A while ago, Venezuela switched all of its dollar holdings into euro, and what did the U.S. do? It sent the CIA to execute Hugo Chavez. Well, the coup failed, but the tensions have been, extreme for the last couple of years. So any country that tries in any possible way to dump dollars and convert to euro, needs the power of the U.S. as much as the U.S. can exercise it. It's a lot harder to exercise it over Russia, but it's a lot easier over Iran, Iraq, Venezuela, and some other minor countries.
The Russians and China and the Japanese have been sort of propping up the U.S. economy by buying dollars.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct statement.
In the past couple of years, they have, and it was reported even a couple of days ago, and I'm not sure where I saw that, but it said that the U.S. has borrowed more money under George Bush than the 42 presidents before him combined. Where does this put the Americans as far as being able to maintain economic viability, and as compared to strong economies like in China and other economies in Europe?
Okay, well, first of all, the U.S. cannot possibly maintain economic viability. It has been living beyond its means for the last 40 years. Also, what I have done as a research but is not yet published is the U.S. economy or the U.S. empire has reached its peak about 40 years ago. So in terms of an empire and economic viability, for the last 40 years, the U.S. economy has gone downhill. The strength and viability of the economy has been weakened. Now, this doesn't mean that the economy itself did not show a positive growth. Instead of showing a 10, 12, 14% economic growth, the U.S. economy since 68 up until today has shown a growth of 2.5%. On the other hand, China shows a growth of 10, 11%, and it shows these growth for more than two decades. Essentially, the U.S. is living beyond its means and is fed by China and Japan, and of course that's not going to last for long, and that was essentially Ron Paul's speech in front of the U.S. Congress that was published on February 15th, which is a week ago, where he elaborates a whole lot more on this subject.
Where do you believe that the U.S. economy stands? As far, do you believe that these wars, if America attacks Iran, is that a necessity for George Bush at this point? Is completely wiping out any kind of situation with an Iranian oil market a necessity for George Bush at this point?
Yes. Essentially, the threat of switching from dollars to euro is a real one coming from everywhere. And therefore, the U.S. response to any single country that attempts to switch from dollars to euro must be a credible threat. Credibility is gained only one way. You know, you show your cards and they're all aces. So you gotta go to Iran and you gotta nuke those guys. Otherwise, next time the U.S. makes a threat, no one's going to believe them. So they have to show that their threat is credible. Unfortunately, that's the case. That's the reality of it. Not there's going to be five other countries that will eagerly switch from dollars to euros.
And how do you feel about the situation in South America as far as a trend to move to the left? We see that Cuba, Venezuela, Bolivia, these countries have clearly stated that they are not with America, that they wish to go in a different direction. Do you believe that America has to react to that?
Well, again, the question is, what are American goals? If American goals are maintaining empires, they must react. If America's goals are just live and let live, then they shouldn't bother. The same thing applies to Iraq 3 years ago. The same thing applies today and next month to Iran. If America insists on maintaining an empire, it's got to be reacting everywhere in the world that someone is trying to get from or to get away from the stranglehold of empire. So it's simple as that. Now, which is the right decision from an economic point of view? And I have indicated that there's a whole book called The Rise and Fall of Great Powers by Yale professor Paul Kennedy. It is clear and unequivocal. Maintaining an empire always requires overstretching military and therefore economic resources, and ultimately spells the demise of the empire itself. So the answers are clear. At least we know, you know, a couple of thousand years of history. The results are clear. What will the American politicians choose is entirely up to them.
Now, the United States has a brand new commander-in-chief of their economy, and his name is Ben Bernanke. And you have stated that he has a tendency to choose to inflate. And can you tell our listeners just a little bit about what that process is and how it would benefit or not benefit the U.S. economy?
Okay, well, inflation never benefits an economy. There has been not a single country in human history that has prospered because of printing money. That is a lesson that we all know too well, and no one will ever dispute it. Inflation works only for a while, sometimes a short while, sometimes for a few years. It would work for a decade. But afterwards, it always backfires. Unfortunately, Bernanke doesn't seem to understand this all too well. He has started the Great Depression, and he is totally convinced that if the Federal Reserve back then in the 30s has printed more money and prevented deflation, everything would have been fine and that the Great Depression would not have been great at all. That's controversial. He's on the one side, but there is a whole army of researchers just sitting on the other side of the fence showing or claiming and defending exactly the opposite. But one thing is well known from human history, and that is printing never leads to prosperity, and that's something that we should never forget. Now, on the other hand, every time a country has embarked on a heavy-duty printing, it has always impoverished itself. It has always decimated its middle class, actually wiped out completely its middle class. A few rich people remain rich, and everyone is desperately impoverished. These are pretty much the lessons that we know from history, from the history of inflation. And a new, if the U.S. gets into more and more and more printing, as it must if it is to sustain the current positive levels and not slip into depression, it will ultimately end into a hyperinflationary depression. So the question is not if there will be a depression. One is sure to come. The question is it going to be hyperinflationary one or is it going to be deflationary one?
Do you project that to take place in the very near future?
Yes, but not very near. Usually a hyperinflation takes 5 to 10 years to develop. Only in extremely dire circumstances it could or would develop in, say, 2 or 3 years. Let's take my own country. It took 7 years for hyperinflation to develop. In Russia, it took 8 years to develop. In Weimar Germany, things started in 1919, but the hyperinflation ended somewhere in 1923, 4 to 5 years. The U.S. is probably at the very early hyperinflationary stages, and I would guess a minimum of 5 years, but more realistically, 10 years until the hyperinflation gets a truly manic stage.
And the opening of the Iranian bourse, or the Iranian oil market in euros, that's going to increase the...
It is going to, let's put it, accelerate a process that has started. It's an inevitable process that cannot be possibly postponed or just evaded. It is an inevitable process that is bound to happen, and all the Iranian oil bourse is just accelerating it and making the whole process a little bit faster than otherwise it would have been.
Okay, I've been speaking with Krasimir Petrov. He teaches macroeconomics, international finance, and econometrics at the American University in Bulgaria. I thank you for joining me this morning.